Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
So, you know, tonight I really didn't come with a message, and I've been asking the Lord off and on all day, not all day, but like a couple times a day, if he had anything special on his heart, and he really didn't give me anything. And he said, stand and deliver. And then when I sat down in the chair, he actually gave me a psalm. And I was asking why he gave that to me, and this is what he told me. Sometimes he'll change a meeting if somebody shows up. And there was a battle going on for somebody who didn't want to come, but you made it anyway. You came. You overcame. I'm not looking at you. And God's really proud of that, and he's got a message for you tonight. And it's a little tough. It's a good message. It's got a good ending, but where you're at right now is not a great place, and God sees that, and he's cheering you on, and he wants to encourage you, but you have to battle against your flesh to not get caught up in the cesspool of self-pity, and you have reason to have self-pity because it's bad what you're going through. But I want to read the psalm that the Lord picked for you tonight, and you can all take this personally because I think we've all been in this place one time or another, and these were clean when I took them from Kina, but you know me, I can't help but get my fingers all over the glasses. I've never put on a pair yet that you can actually see out of, which I find amazing. So this is what the Lord is saying tonight. Psalm 37. And so this is by King David, and I'm just going to read a little bit. It's quite long, but I want you to connect your heart with this tonight and not your emotions, if you can do that. And so maybe you might say, emotions, quiet down. I want to connect with the Lord tonight and hear what he has to say over this. So this is, I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. And it says, don't follow after the wicked ones or be jealous of their wealth. Don't think for a moment they're better off than you. They and their short-lived success will soon shrivel up and quickly fade away, like grass clippings in the hot sun. Keep trusting in the Lord and do what is right in his eyes. Fix your heart on the promises of God, and you will dwell in the land, feasting on his faithfulness. Find your delight and true pleasure in Yahweh, and he will give you what your desire the most. Give God the right to direct your life. Okay, I'm underlining that. Give God the right to direct your life. And as you trust him along the way, you'll find he pulled it off perfectly. He will appear as your righteousness, as sure as the dawning of a new day. He will manifest as your justice, as sure and strong as the noonday sun. Quiet your heart in his presence and wait patiently for Yahweh. Quiet your heart in his presence and wait patiently for Yahweh. And don't think for a moment that the wicked in their prosperity are better off than you. Stay away from anger and revenge. Stay away from anger and revenge. Keep envy far from you, for it only leads you into lies. For one day the wicked will be destroyed, but those who trust in the Lord will inherit the land. Just a little while longer, and the ungodly will vanish. You will look for them in vain, but the humble of heart will inherit every promise and enjoy abundant peace. Let the wicked keep plotting against the godly with all their sneers and arrogant jeers. God laughs at the wicked and their plans, for he knows their day is coming. Evil ones take aim at the poor and helpless. They are ready to slaughter those who do right, but the Lord will turn all their weapons of wickedness back on themselves, piercing their pride-filled hearts until they are helpless. It is much better to have little combined with much of God than to have the fabulous wealth of the wicked and nothing else. For the Lord takes care of all his forgiven ones, while the strength of evil men will surely slip away. Day by day, the Lord watches the good deeds of the godly, and he prepares for them his forever reward. Even in a time of disaster, he will watch over them, and they will always have more than enough, no matter what happens. They will always have more than enough, no matter what happens. All the enemies of God will perish, for the wicked have only a monetary value, a fading glory. Momentary value, a fading glory. Then one day they vanish, here today, gone tomorrow. They break their promises, borrowing money, but never paying it back. The good man returns what he owes with some extra besides. Yahweh's blessed ones receive the land, but the cursed ones will be cut off with nothing to show for themselves. When Yahweh delights in how you live your life, he establishes your every step. If they stumble badly, they will still survive, for the Lord lifts them up with his hands. I was once inexperienced, but now I'm old. Not once have I found a lover of God forsaken by him, nor have any of their children gone hungry. Instead, I've found the godly ones to be the generous ones who give freely to others. Their children are blessed and become a blessing. If you truly want to dwell forever in God's presence, forsake evil and do what is right in his eyes. The Lord loves it when he sees us walking in his justice. He will never desert his devoted lovers. They will be kept forever in his faithful care. But the descendants of the wicked will banished. Well, they will be banished. The faithful lovers of God will inherit the earth and enjoy every promise of God's care, dwelling in peace forever. God lovers make the best counselors. Their words possess wisdom and are right and trustworthy. The ways of God are in their hearts, and they won't swerve from the path of steadfast righteousness. Evil ones spy on the godly ones, stalking them, to find something they could use to accuse them. They're out for the kill, but God will foil all their plots. The godly will not stand condemned when brought to trial. So don't be impatient for Yahweh to act. Keep moving forward steadily in his ways, and he will exalt you to possess the land. You'll watch with your own eyes and see the wicked lose everything. I've already seen this happen. Once I saw a wicked and violent man overpower all who were around him, a domineering tyrant with his prideful and oppressive ways. Then he died and was forgotten. Now no one cares that he is gone forever, but you can tell who are the blameless and spiritually mature. What a different story with them. The godly ones will have a peaceful, prosperous future with a happy ending. Every evil sinner will be destroyed, obliterated. They'll be utter failures with no future. But the Lord will be the Savior of all who love him. Even in their time of trouble, God will live in them as strength. Because of their faith in him, their daily portion will be a Father's help and deliverance from evil. This is true for all who turn to hide themselves in him. Amen? So, you know, I was asking the Lord, you know, because when I started reading, and I'm like, you know, immediately I started thinking of trials in my life in my past, and they were so devastating. And, you know, I remember the darkest, darkest day of my life. God was there. The worst time in my life ever, God was there. When the people were accusing me, God was there. And I remember having that thought early on, just like in that psalm, where, you know what? What gives, God? What's going on? When will they get their punishment? How come I'm the one who feels like I'm the one that's getting smushed to the ground to nothing? And, you know, I remember thinking, there's got to be a scripture that will help me build up, you know, my thought or my heart in this area. And unfortunately, I didn't find it, but I found it today. And, you know, many, many years later, you know, because there's different translations, but, you know, here's the thing. I know there's a few people in here who are being pressed, who are being tormented, who are being accused of horrible things. And I want to remind you a couple things. Guard your heart against bitterness, strife, envy, anger, hatred, and fill your heart with the love of God. And what I mean by that is, you know, really, once you meet him, and you met him because none of this would be going on if you didn't, you know, if you were living a carnal life, you wouldn't be in the crosshairs of, Lord, I thought it was going to be better. You know, I thought things were going to get better. They do get better in God as you continue to surrender your ideas, your agendas, and your will to him. And when you start to make that exchange, when trust starts to develop, see, there has to be trust in the Lord. And you're in the process right now of, I do trust you, but it doesn't look too good right now. You're believing the word, but the manifestation of the promises are being worked out right now on your behalf. And it won't look like what you expect because God's ways are always higher. For some reason, we have limited or capped thinking, or we just want to survive this trial and get the next bill paid or make it through the next thing before something else blows up. But there's a way and a lifestyle to live in God where you're untouched by the human accusations or the demonic onslaught of what is happening in the spirit realm. And so God is desiring to connect your gaze with his gaze where there's a oneness. And when in that scripture, it talked about resting in his presence, Yahweh's presence. And I'm going to tell you the secret. Rest in his presence no matter what. When the bills are stacked up, find a place, lock away, and just worship him. Even if you don't feel like it, even if it doesn't look like you should because things look bad in the natural, what happens is you're placing a draw on the spirit for God. And he's always looking and loves when we delight ourselves in him, even in when there's bad stuff going on. And sometimes there is bad stuff going on. I had some bad stuff going on, but I learned not to bite the bait. I learned to quiet my soul, quiet my emotions, and trust him in all things because I can draw on two things, what the Word of God says and the past track record that I've had with him. As you grow in relationship, you come over a lot of many obstacles. You'll face many decisions that, you know, you think this is it. There's no way we're going to get through this one, but yet God comes again or God saves the day again. And he's the saving type of God. He's not the punishing God. Now, the punishing happens from the enemy and the enemy's courts. In the day, there will be a day of judgment, but a lot of people's trials and problems are self-made because they open doors to the enemy, or willingly and unwillingly, and one door is unforgiveness. You may be mad because you got the pile. You're dealing with the pile because everything fell, and you're dealing with the pile. You're the responsible one. But I'm going to tell you some good news. You're not the responsible one. If you truly surrender your life to Jesus Christ and make him Lord of all things, he's the responsible one. He's the one that can resurrect a dead body. I mean, I'm certain he can resurrect a dream or a promise or, you know, recreate something that needs to be recreated. His ways are always higher than ours. And so I know there's a couple people in here who are struggling severely with some major issues. And you know, you can look around and you won't know it because they walk and they say everything's fine. So don't start looking around to see who it is because maybe it's you. And amen. And so the reason why sometimes we get clobbered is because we get seared in our consciousness. And what I mean by that is we get so used to doing things a certain way that we think that's the way. And it causes delay and decay. And so, you know, how this came about is, you know, when you see somebody fall, like a minister, a big minister, and you think, good Lord, how did that happen? Didn't he heed? And when I was asking the Lord about it for the next 100th time or whatever time it's been, you know, because God's cleaning the house. He's not going to allow wickedness in his temple. You know, now there's churches that are not his, and they'll carry on. But people that are sold out to God have laid their life down and said, Lord, anything and everything for your glory, for your kingdom, not my kingdom. And so, you know, there's been a lot of playing church and a lot of manipulation. And I feel like this is the season of the holiness of the Father is coming, and it can't stand corruption. And so corruption's being exposed. And so when it happens, I say, you know, wow, that one, Lord. And I always say, Lord, is there anything in my heart that I'm not seeing? Because what if I'm so used to doing it? Like, let's say I was raised as a thief all my life. My family was a thief, and, you know, we were taught to steal. Now, if I don't know that's wrong, how am I going to get conviction? I'm just saying. And so if you're so used to a lifestyle, whatever it is, or a way of speech, or whatever it is, or a judging spirit, however that works, how will we receive correction if we've become seared? Now, think about seared. When you become seared, it's like, it's almost instant. It doesn't happen over time. You know, what happens over time is, you really should stop doing that. Or you'll hear a sermon and it'll be like, you'll feel like the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Oh, something's off. I don't know what, but I think I got an issue, but I don't know what the issue is. Lord, would you show me? Would you help me? And so if you have dialogue with him, he'll show you. He'll figure out a way to show you. And if you're so familiar in it, he'll give you a dream, which will override your natural reasoning. And so he does it to bring us into holiness, not into, under the law. Now, there is law, but I'm not going there. So what I'm saying is, when you're pressing in and there's a block in your life, whether it's sickness, disease, some sort of chaos, we have to know it's not God's fault. And we also have to know that God's, you know, we're not waiting on God to fix this. There's an issue in our heart that needs to get dealt with. And the easiest way I have found, unfortunately, is when I'm in a trial, I ask the questions, what door is open, or, you know, who did I tick off, or, you know, what's going on right here? I stop. I don't chase off to the doctors, the psychologists, the church. I chase in to Jesus. And I don't even tell people what's going on. And I say, Lord, what's going on? Something's not right. I don't know what it is, but I need some help here. And he may not tell me instantly, and he may tell me instantly, but the choice is mine of obedience or disobedience or justification. And oftentimes we justify because we can't see God. We think, oh, I'll get to it. And then the enemy comes and steals the moment of opportunity for repentance, and we miss it another day. And so that may happen for many years in people's lives. And you may live that way until you go home. But what I'm talking about is what happens when we become seared. And when there's like an instant searing, you know, it doesn't happen. There's like a season of warning, warning, correction, redirecting throughout our life. But if we're missing it in an area, and how do you know if you're missing it in an area? Well, you'll get clobbered. There'll be a clobbering. But it will always bring forth truth and fruit if we check in and do what he says to do, or stand strong in the word until. Sometimes it's until. But we have to stay focused on the issue of our heart, not the symptom in our body. And so, because it's easy to focus on the symptom, you know, take a pill, believe God. Well, what if you're the reason that your healing isn't manifesting? What if it's something you need to be speaking? Or what if it's an attitude of your heart? Or what if it's just plain old stubbornness and you refuse to change because you're seared? You're so used to being that way that you can't believe God would have it any other way for you. Now, I'm saying this because there's people in here who need to hear this. I just had to hear it. I had an issue not that long ago where I had a searing of my heart. I was raised a certain way. And, you know, I've had this over and over in different areas. You know, I call them sin now. I didn't when I was going through it because I didn't know it was sin. I thought it was just compromise or, you know, that gray line. You know, the Bible doesn't really talk about this, but you know when it's an attitude. Actually, if you dig the scriptures, you'll find it. But because in my case, I justified things. You know, it'd be just a simple justification. In my old days, it would be, and I've shared this before, but this stuff gets me in trouble. It leads to possession of the enemy over an area in my life because there's an open door. And I used to share this many, many years ago when I was married. And, you know, I'd go to Walmart and I'd buy the kids, all the kids' food and all our groceries, and then there'd be a case of water underneath. And if they didn't catch it, I thought, God's will, he's blessing me today. Now, do you see how twisted that is? Now, that's twisted. But back then, I didn't think it was twisted. And so if you continue, there should come a time of conviction, and it'll be an instant and it'll be short, and then it'll either, on to the next. He's going to bless me again. So that's called stealing. That's not a blessing of the Lord. That's called stealing. And you're stealing. In fact, when I got convicted of it, I'm like, Lord, I got to make this right. What do you want me to do? And I went to the Walmarts and I gave money at the service desks. I just asked the Lord how much, and I said, I owe this to you, and I would leave. And that was it. You know, and so, you know, our words carry power and authority. If you make a promise to do something and you don't do it, do you know you actually are opening the door to the enemy? I remember promising or pledging, you know, a church build or whatever they're called, pledging the amount, signing the card, and then the church splitting and me getting mad. When I got convicted, which wasn't that day, it was years later on a couch when I was struggling with finances and the Lord took me back to the judgment I had in my heart, I immediately wrote the check out and I immediately called the new pastor and asked for forgiveness. I repented for my bad attitude and I asked for forgiveness and I said, I am sending this seed because my word is good. When we get convicted, it brings forth action. You know, if your house is falling apart, there's a reason why it's falling apart. Don't wait on God to come fix it. God's been warning and bringing correction and trying to help you come into the center of his will, but stubbornness has caused delay and now there's decay. But I know God. Repentance will put you right back in the center of his will because he loves us. He loves us so dearly that when we blow it and we truly repent, he's like, come on in. Come on. Look what I got for you. And it's always an upgrade in his realm. We may not think of it as an upgrade in our realm, but his ways are better. And so I know there's people in here that are struggling. Some of you are going through like divorce stuff and financial issues. I've been there. I've totally been there. And one thing, I'll never forget this, when God sent Kim Mack, she gave me a prophetic word. She said, guard your heart against bitterness. And I remember thinking, bitterness? I don't even know what bitterness is. But God knew my heart, and so he sent somebody ahead of time to warn me and correct me. And I remember thinking, I got no bitterness. Well, you hang on and divorce long enough, you'll get bitterness. And I remember when bitterness knocked on my door, and I thought, oh my gosh, bitterness is here. And I got on my face, and I repented, and I started praying for my spouse. And I said, Lord, give it all to him. I don't care about any of this. I only care about you. And through that process, he was testing my heart. That's what it's about. Now, I could have held on and what, got 50% or 30% or who cares? I got the kingdom of God. I got everything because I yield to him. And I said, I'll serve you, Lord Jesus Christ. I'll do anything. I'll clean toilets. I'll do whatever. I don't care where I sleep. I don't care about anything. I ask that my kids have a roof over their head, but even that, I don't really care. You're going to take care of us because I surrendered my agenda and my will. And some of you have surrendered your agenda, but not your will. And that's why you're having trouble. I'm seeing dripping faucets. I don't know if that's spiritual or if that's in the natural. God has a solution for that. I'm thinking of that scripture. It's in Proverbs. It's about the wife, you know. And what's worse, the dripping faucet or the wife? What's that script? Do you know it, Holly? That's it. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah, that's it.
This is a paraphrase, but basically it's live with a contentious wife.
Yeah. Better to live in a corner of a roof than with a contentious wife. And there's another one about a dripping faucet and the wife. Ding, 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 ding. You know. So I'm just telling you. And if there's not, I just put that one in. Kidding. So if we're complaining, if we're constantly complaining, that is a sound that draws the demonic realm. They like that sound. Do you know what sound draws the Father? I exalt thee. I worship you. I love you. I don't know anything, but I know you love me and I love you. And I'm asking you to just work it out and tell me what I got to do right now. And show me. And if I miss it, show me again. Help me to understand your will for my life right now. So I know this is kind of a hard message, isn't it? But it's important because, you know, some of you are running around for prayer, for prayer, for prayer, for prayer, for prayer. Pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. How's that working? Could it possibly be an issue that the Lord's trying to get you to deal with? Maybe a commitment of, yes, Lord, whatever you say, I'll do. Oh, I don't know if I like that. Are you struggling with, I'll do whatever you say, Lord? If you're struggling there, let's stop there. If you've said, anything you say, Lord, I'll do. I don't care. Whatever it is, I'll do. And there may be delay because of issues that you're working through with him. But if you're struggling with, I don't know about that. Sell my house? Give my car away? I don't know about that stuff. That, you know, teach me. I don't know about that. Listen, he either is or he isn't the God of the universe. He's either the one that raised Jesus Christ from the dead or he's not. Do you think you have a situation, or are you holding on to something so tight out of fear, or maybe because you're used to it this way? How's that working? Should there be a great exchange? I think we need to do the great exchange tonight in an area. There's lot. Oh, kids. I just picked that one up. Listen, if you're still carrying your kids or worried about what your kids are thinking about you, what you do is not going to make a difference. You can say, you can pay, you can do whatever it is that you think will make them happy. They're going to want more because they're living the carnal life. You, my friend, have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, where all the blessings are. Have your way with the Father. Have your way with Jesus. Have your way with Holy Spirit. And let him deal with your kids. He'll give you strategies that are supernatural. They'll blow your mind. You can't even think that way. And there's blessings for your family members, but you're holding on to them. Or you're allowing them to sway what you do and when you do it, because you don't want to make waves. Listen, you're bowing down to an idol right then and there. And do you know what idolatry does? It brings a curse. You want curses in your life, or you want blessings? I choose the blessings. And so the Lord is, he's so patient and long-suffering in wanting us to get it. But because of that, there's been a severing. There's been a searing. And so the body of Christ at large is walking with a limp, with a broken limb, with a severed limb, because they've compromised and decided my comfort and my pleasure is more important than dying to a dream or whatever the Lord says. And so willful disobedience, I don't know if there's much difference between willful and unwillful. Disobedience does not bring the blessings. And I've had to deal with that in my own heart. I mean, it's almost like daily, you know, God is like stretching me in new ways and territories. And that's because I want all that he has. And so he's like, oh, really? Will you fast today? Well, not today. I got plans to go out to lunch with the girls. I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow comes and goes. And did I fast? No. I'm just bringing up stuff, okay? And I'm not trying to bring condemnation. I'm trying to bring the victory. I'm exposing the enemy and our weak, silly flesh. And I'm saying there's a high way. There's a high price to pay for the walk of the Spirit. And it's called dying to yourself and your agenda. And so little disobediences, I'm trying to go after them with God. I don't want to say, oh, I'm going to read today, and then, oh, I'm out shopping or, you know, pulling weeds or whatever. I'm going to spend time with you. Oh, wait, there goes a butterfly, and I'm down the road chasing butterflies. You know, it's so easy to get distracted, but once you hone in and spend time and discipline your flesh, you don't want to go chase butterflies. He'll bring them to you right in front of your eyes while you're sitting in the chair. You know, there's a better way, and he's trying to get us to move from this earthly carnal way of doing things and manipulating people to do things for us, which is just, you know, if you, I don't know who this is, I do, but I'm not looking. If you are a manipulator, meaning you do things or set things up so that you get your way when you want it, it's like a game you play, but you know who you're playing the game with? A demonic spirit. They delight when you set traps for people to help you when it's not the will of the Lord or if it's out of the order of God. You're self-pleasing and you're drawing self-pleasure, which is actually pushing the love of the Father away from you.
What I felt like the Lord said is that there's people in here who you love the Lord with all your heart and you're not understanding why there's all these trials, because you really believe you're doing the right thing. And what the Lord showed me is sometimes we can have idols. In fact, our life can be absolutely full of idols, but because we think it's right, we actually believe that's right, we allow the idol to stay there. And so I felt like, I'm just asking the Lord to give me the right words. I feel like if you've got a lot of trouble in your life, and you've been like, Lord, what? You know, you keep hearing us say, you know, is there an open door? And you're like, I don't have an open door. I'm not in sin. I'm not, you know, I'm not cussing. I'm not stealing. I'm not doing any of that stuff. Sometimes an open door is something we don't recognize because it's who we are. It's how we've always done things. And we see it as so right that even if God tells us or sends people to tell us, we don't hear it. That's why it's called deception. And so I'm just going to say this. If you're struggling with a lot of stuff and attack and you're not clear, like what? You know, I remember when I was in, I was like, what? You know, and I didn't realize that the problem was me. Most of my problems were me. And so the only thing that, here's what usually happens. We let it go because we feel like we're doing the right thing, and it gets so bad for so long, we're finally at a point of almost no return, where we're face down in the mud, and there is nowhere else to go. You don't have to go that far, though. And then we say, oh, God, I'll listen to anything. Now we're open. But what I learned is you don't have to let it get that bad. You don't have to be on your deathbed to ask what the problem is. Don't let it get that far. And if you really feel like you don't know of anything, that's okay. Ask God sincerely, is there something I want to open my heart to, Father? Is there something that I'm doing or that I have or that I'm, you know, a certain behavior patterns or things in my house? I'm seeing, you know, a house just absolutely full of idols, just full of idols, but they're not seen as idols. And because of that, because they're not seen as idols, they're not dealt with. And because of that, there's all these open doors, okay? This is by no means a judgment. It's by no means a rebuke. It's simply a thing of saying, let's go before the Lord and say, you know, for me, I will do anything if it means I can walk trial-free. And after I went through the hard way, man, if I even smell a trial coming down the road, I stop and say, is there anything you want to show me? Is there anything you want to correct? Is there any heart condition or attitude or anything that I'm doing that I need to change? Because I want to change it before. And you'll see a trial come and just, there it goes. many, many, many times. You do not have to get the trial. Many, many, many times, if you can just see what the issue is. And I will tell you, it's not always us. Sometimes it's just the devil's a jerk, the devil's mean. Sometimes it's that. But if you're in a situation, go home tonight and spend some time before the Lord and just say, is there anything that you've tried to tell me and I wasn't able to hear it? Hallelujah.
Amen. Anybody have any questions? Kim?
It's not a question, but I found that scripture you were referring to.
Oh, good. Can you say it?
Yeah, so I found it. It's Proverbs 27, verses 15 and 16, and I found it in the Passion Translation. And it says, an endless drip, drip, drip from a leaky faucet, and the words of a cranky, nagging wife have the same effect. Can you stop the north wind from blowing or grasp a handful of oil? That's easier than to stop her from complaining.
That's good. That's a hit. Thank you, Kim. Anybody else? Father, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you for, hey, you know what? Before we close, could you, while we're closing and I'm going to do announcements, could you cue up I Exalt Thee? And so, Father, I just thank you for everything that you did tonight. And I pray for every heart in here. I pray for every seed that was spoken to be alive in our hearts, to come alive. And I refuse the enemy the ability to steal it from us. Lord, I ask that seed rattle and roll around us until we bite it and eat it and understand it in Jesus' name. And I thank you for the heart that you put in each and every one of us. You love us so dearly. You're cheering us on for victory. You don't look at us like we look at each other. You see yourself in us. And I thank you that you love us so much that and you care about us so much that you actually deal with stuff that we are asking questions about. And so I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from SpiritofGodWorldwide.com.